Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Bare Roots. Today, we have a fun episode. Maybe shouldn't say fun, but we have a great and interesting episode because we are talking about the famous Gothic writer, poet, Edgar Allan Poe.
That's right. It was October 3rd, 1849, a rainy election day in Baltimore, when the famous poet of Edgar Allan Poe was found delirious in a ditch. How did a man of such regard end up alone, delirious, and soon died at the age of 40 in a town that he had no family? How did this happen?
Exactly. I feel like we know the poet and his body of work, but we don't really talk about his death, which is just so mysterious. Like, how did he end up dying in this really sad and disturbing way?
And it really mimics kind of his works were very dark and mysterious, and he went out that way too. And so young.
Truly so young. Completely agree. It's just so interesting because we really don't have any answers today. There's just, it's up to people to just kind of make theories on how did he die? Like, how did this happen to this man? And today we're going to be talking about that and diving into what could have caused his death. Did something suspicious happen? Something shady? Because some people say that it does point to that.
But first, we're going to go on the record about who he is, what he did. I mean, we definitely learned about him in high school, and we definitely mm-hmm. read some of his works, but I forgot most of what was about him.
I agree. I don't even remember much of his life. I just remember more of his work than his upbringing / his death. I guess that was something they didn't want to cover in English literature.
There's just so much to cover. We can't go into every poet's life.
Exactly. And so we're going to dive into his life. And it's really, honestly, quite a dark life. He just had a lot of things that happened to him that were truly a series of unfortunate events. And the ending to his life just matches all of this, which is really sad. It's just like, when did he ever get a break? Which I guess his work gave him a break because he was, you know, the now famous poet. But man, oh man.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's like, how much of it was, how many of his problems were his fault? He definitely had behavioral things from a young age.
Exactly. So without further ado, let's dive into it. So he was born January 19th, 1809. Just want to throw it out there. Capricorn season. In Boston, which, you know what? I had thought to myself, we're going to talk a lot about Virginia and Baltimore. And I'm like, why do I feel like this man grew up more in New England? And I'm like, that's right. You know, what do you know? He was born in Boston.
Wow. Instinct.
Instinct. I just knew it. Like an old historical 1800s character, gotta be from New England. So his parents were Elizabeth and David Poe. And unfortunately, when Edgar was only 3 years old, both of his parents died. So what ended up happening was he went to go live with his presumed godfather. His name was John Allen, and he lived down in Richmond. So that's kind of where people get the whole, he like grew up, and he wasn't born obviously in Richmond, but pretty much his whole grounding was there.
Yeah.
So later in life, he enrolled in University of Virginia in 1826, and he was considered actually a really great student. But his godfather, even though he had money, which he came from a tobacco company, he only gave Poe about like 1/3 of the money he needed for tuition. So I'm not saying this is a bad thing, right? You know, I don't think this is something we should look down like, oh my God, like his godfather had the money to pay for his schooling, but oh no, like Poe had to pay for his portion. But in order for Poe to just try to keep up with school and the tuition, he ended up picking up gambling. So with gambling, things really didn't work out as one might suspect. And after his first semester, he ended up having to burn some of his furniture, apparently, to stay warm because he really had no money, which is a really sad thought.
And I wonder, I'd never really thought about this, but when did student loans become a thing? How would he have been able to pay for it if he didn't have a job, is my question. I wonder when student loans,
That's a good question. I wonder if they've always existed, because I feel like banks give out loans all the time.
Yeah.
Like that is not a new concept, but of course it's just not at the rate that it is today with like interest and whatnot.
Yeah. Although, why am I now thinking about, I saw something briefly that said that when banks started giving out student loans, that's when the colleges got more expensive because they could in more recent years.
There was something as of recent, maybe in last 30 years or something like that. What happened was school loans became one of those things that even if you die, like you still have to pay their student loans. And because of that switch, then it allowed colleges to spike up their prices because they were like, hell yeah, you are now bound to us forever, essentially. Like you cannot be exempt. I think if you claim bankruptcy, I think that was the thing. If you claim bankruptcy, student loans will still follow you. Ooh. And so student loans went up. But yeah, just like a brief history on student loans. So at the time, his godfather was mad at Edgar for gambling and he didn't want to give him any more money. So this really just forced Poe to drop out of school. And this is really where it began for kind of like his tough time, his tough period. Like if he didn't already have a tough time growing up without his parents, now he really did because probably like the one thing that he was interested in, he just couldn't afford and do it. So he did eventually find love though. He discovered his fiance, but the thing was his fiance ended up getting engaged to another man.
Yeah.
So
he came home from school and found, can you imagine? Your fiance is now engaged to another man. She didn't let you know? That sucks.
Yeah, like, oof, that's rough.
That's a blow.
Yeah, like, again, he's just trying to pay for school, kind of had to drop out. It's just like, man, oh, man. So he was really pissed off, and rightfully so. So he moved to Boston, and he ended up enlisting in the army. But his godfather ended up buying him out of the military, which I didn't realize was a thing you could do back then. But I guess that one shows how much money he did have. But two, yeah, apparently that's a thing. So he didn't have to go into the military, but he was thinking about it. And then he, even though he didn't go into like the military and sign up and like go on the grounds or whatever, he did go to West Point, but that only lasted 8 months before he was expelled. So again, just trials and tribulations.
Right.
So with nowhere to go, he decided to reach out to his father's family in Baltimore, but then he got robbed by his cousin, which is like
great.
Fabulous. Family first. But eventually, like through this whole escapade, he did end up meeting up and creating some sort of stability within his home life with his aunt, and her name was Maria Clem. And so this really helped him find his grounding, and the struggles that he had faced earlier, he was able to just kind of push past that and focus on what he really wanted to do, which was starting to publish his poems and short stories. So this is kind of where his career begins to take off. One of the main things, I guess, that catapulted his career was when he won a competition, and he won the notary at the Literary Messenger. So this was a really big deal, and his name started to become a lot more popular. And then, you know, when success is happening, only good things are coming to you. So he did eventually fall in love with a girl named Virginia, who was his cousin. And here at Bear Roots, if you are a loyal fan, you know we love to talk about age because age is very important. We are, you know, reporting this sadly by saying his wife, you know, his cousin, he ended up married, was only 13 years old and he was 27.
13 years old and a cousin. This is too late in history for this to be going on. This is 18. What we're talking about?
We're saying 1830, maybe.
This is not 1500s Europe, people. This is not okay, Edgar. Not okay, Aunt Maria Clem.
Yeah, it's just, it's not a good thing. But apparently they had a happy marriage.
I don't buy it. This is the aunt's daughter that he lived with. Like, he lived with his cousin.
Yeah.
And he fell in love with her.
Yeah, it's just really uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable. It's like, not only is he your cousin, or she is his cousin, but then the whole age difference, it's just a lot.
And I saw that she would deliver messages or deliver love letters to other girls for him because, you know, she's like 12 at this point.
Right.
And then she became the subject of his love letters and it turned into a whole romance. Disgusting.
Yeah, it's just, and like his words, I'm sure it just kind of must have made her feel so special.
Right. I mean, obviously he was good with words. So, oh, God.
Yeah, it's just not good. Yeah, we definitely do not consent to this.
He didn't have any kids with her, though, so thank God we don't have that.
Exactly. No bueno. No bueno. So, you know, he lives his life with Virginia, and his career is booming. They ended up moving a lot to try to find jobs with his writing. While he lived in Baltimore, his godfather died, and he ended up leaving Edgar out of his will, which is just, it hurts my heart for him, you know?
Yeah, well, they clearly didn't have a great relationship, so unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So now it is 1845, and the New York Mirror posted his famous poem, The Raven. And again, this really just set him off the chart. This really helped him in his career. I mean, if we think about it, we both learned about The Raven in high school. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like this is just a classic literary piece of work that so many people learned about. Do you remember learning about it in school?
Yeah, I do. I started rereading it for this episode, but I didn't have enough time to finish it. But the first line, I do remember, it kind of came back to me as I was reading it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this poem really made him a household name, that's for sure. And it's not just household name today, but in his time too. When this got published, he became a household name.
Exactly. Interestingly enough, kind of like a fun fact with The Raven, there's an NFL team in Baltimore and they're called the Baltimore Ravens, and it's literally derived from him and his poem because he grew up in Baltimore and whatnot. So it's like an homage to him.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
Same. I had no idea. When I read it, I was like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. It's one of those things I just assume Baltimore picked like a random mascot. I'm like, the Raven, yeah, that sounds scary. Like,
right.
It's a fierce mascot.
That's got to be the only NFL team that's named after a poem, right?
It has to be.
Has to be.
Yeah. Which is so interesting. I know. I just remember the poem being very dark and creepy. And I feel like that's where I don't like blackbirds, because it's just like this creepy ambiance and very gothic style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I picture Edgar Allan Poe, just like always wearing black, you know?
Yes, yes. Shadowy.
Really pale, kind of sickly looking. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So after this, he finally started to live a little bit more comfortably. This really helped him like professionally. And I'm sure that made him somewhat happy. Only the thing was, 2 years later, after the big viral sensation, if you will, of The Raven, his wife died of tuberculosis. And so this kind of really set him off and he started to really spiral. So by the time it was in 1849, about 2 years later, he really went on like a wild spree related to alcohol. And I mean, when you just think about his whole life and then you compound that, it's just a lot, I'm sure, for him to handle. But he did end up going back to Richmond and he ended up catching up with his first fiance. You know, that woman we talked about who got engaged when she was engaged to him. Yeah, he ended up catching up with her. So they ended up getting re-engaged, if you will, and they had plans to get married in Richmond after Poe's trip to Philly and New York. And this is where the story starts to take a turn.
Yeah, that's right. So on the way to Philadelphia, Poe stopped in Baltimore and disappeared for 5 days. Nobody knows what happened to him. Nobody knows why. Just gone.
Still a mystery till today.
On October 3rd, he was found delirious, immobile, and dressed in shabby clothing. And he was actually found in a gutter outside of a public house. And this was where they would, again, it was election day, like I mentioned up front. And this is where they would have voting polls, was at bars at this point in time. So he was found in this ditch.
Yeah. It's an interesting tactic, though. You know, I feel like we could maybe utilize that, get the young voters out there, you know, the 21 and up.
Yeah.
Imagine voting in like bar.
I just imagine violence, but maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be fun time.
It was a tactic. I'm not saying it's the best one, but.
Well, yeah, you got to find the people where they gather, and they gather at bars.
Right.
So Poe was taken to a hospital and assumed to be drunk, but he was never fully able to regain consciousness to be able to detail what happened to him. He was just spewing out different things those days. So Dr. John Morin wrote to his aunt saying, quote, "Vacant converse with spectral and imaginary objects on the walls. His face was pale and his whole person drenched in perspiration." He is said to have repeatedly called out the name Reynolds, and it got to a point where he was almost screaming Reynolds, but nobody knows who he's referring to. And some other sources say that Poe's final words were, "Lord, help my poor soul." On October 7th, 1849, he died at the age of 40. The official report says phrenitis, or brain swelling. But all medical records have been lost, including Poe's death certificate, which, suspicious.
Suspicious, yep.
Neither Poe's mother-in-law, which I would just want to point out, when we say mother-in-law, we also mean his aunt.
Yeah, that aunt we were talking about earlier.
So neither his mother-in-law nor his fiance knew what became of him until they read about it in the newspaper. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's a rough way to find out.
It's a really rough way to find out. He was buried in Baltimore with no markings of burial, but later a tombstone and memorial was created for him at that site. Mm-hmm. Something I found that was interesting was between 1949 and 2009, a bottle of cognac and three roses were left at Poe's original grave marker every January 19th by an unknown visitor who was affectionately referred to as the Poe Toaster. Wow. And yeah, the Poe Toaster's last appearance was on January 19th, 2009, on the day of Poe's bicentennial.
Wow.
Never to be seen again. So how many years is that? 60 years of keeping up that tradition?
That's a lot. I'm surprised no one figured out this person.
There were some people who claimed to be, but not, it wasn't verified.
Yeah, yeah. So all in all, it's just a very mysterious way of going out. Just the doctors not knowing what he was saying, where he was, and the official reports just being really unclear, and it's more like a guess.
Yeah.
So because there's just so much mystery surrounding his death, people have so many theories on what could have happened, and we will dive into that after this break. And we're back. So let's talk about these theories that people have regarding how Edgar Allan Poe died. The first one is probably one of the most common, and that he died from alcohol-related problems. So not only did he suffer from kind of an obvious, if you ask me, but alleged alcoholism, but he was allegedly predisposed to not be able to handle booze. So it has been documented that after a glass of wine, he was staggering drunk and that his sister had the same issue. So people think that he had this genetic predisposition that he just couldn't handle it and couldn't break it down or whatnot. So back then, the word phrenitis may have been a common euphemism to politely attribute a death to alcohol. So it's like, was this it? Could this be the reason? Especially given the reports of his medical background.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much know that he was drinking at some point during that disappearance. So highly possible. And he had a history of drinking before, so.
And some people think he couldn't really handle his alcohol, so could one glass have, you know, set him over the edge? Maybe he had a couple and this kind of let him.
I don't think it was one glass that killed him, but yeah.
But then, you know, a couple, one turned into two and whatnot.
Another theory is that he was fatally beaten, which I'm just going to put up front. Nothing that I read said that he was bruised or had any injuries. So I just don't know if you found anything, Alina, but like, I didn't see anything that described him as bruised, but we also don't have the medical records. So I don't know if that's something that.
That's true. Yeah. I don't have, there wasn't any evidence saying that there were physical markings, but I guess it just, we'll talk about it. Like, does this explain like how he ended the way he did?
So the theory goes that if he was drinking, he would have been an easy target to get beaten up, clearly. And he could also maybe explain why his clothing was so shabby. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe he got beaten up on that first day and then he spent 4 days just like in ditches. I don't know.
Right.
And some think that because he had a lot of romance, especially after his wife, his cousin died.
His cousin.
And he had a lot of affairs and things. And maybe this beating was about a woman. And apparently a woman has said that she was injured by him and somebody beat him up for it. Along with this theory, there's a theory that the brothers of Poe's new fiance drugged Poe with alcohol and then beat him to death. And the brothers warned Poe about marrying their sister, and he could have been ambushed by them on the train ride. Again, this is just kind of the theories underneath Fatally Beaten, but just a couple different scenarios of maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, was this a plot against him? Was this always the plan, knowing that he was going out on a trip? The third theory is a victim of cooping, which cooping is essentially a violent form of voting, which I had never heard about until I started researching this, which is actually just wild in general.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
So as I said earlier, so cooping was a form of electoral fraud. And it's basically what happens is when people are kidnapped off the street and are forced to vote, often several times over, for an election candidate. And how it would work out is that these so-called cooping gangs or election gangs works for a political candidate and would hold random victims in a room, aka the coop, and ply them with alcohol to get them to comply, or they would get beat up, essentially. So you're probably wondering, okay, but how does that work if you're voting multiple times? What they would do is they'd often change their clothing, so they would fool voting officials and vote multiple times, or they would be given disguises such as wig, fake beard, or mustaches. And I mean, I guess in the early 1800s, you really couldn't get away with this kind of stuff. It's just surprising to hear about it and learn about it now, but
So much work.
But again, I guess like you don't really have an ID. Like, I don't know. I guess it's easy to make a fake one then. So in connection to Edgar, this might explain why he was in poorly dressed clothes and found outside of a polling place. And people said that he was a fairly well-dressed man. So the fact that he was found in that whole getup is just kind of suspicious in general. And he may have been given alcohol as a celebration after each time he voted. And if he wasn't able to handle it, then maybe that explains why he got so sick. There's a biographer named J.H. Ingram, and he actually ended up receiving several letters saying, quote, "The general belief here is that Poe was seized by one of these gangs, cooped, stupefied with liquor, dragged out and voted, and then turned adrift to die."
Insane.
So insane. It's like, I just didn't know that this is what people were doing back then.
Right. Don't know why. Like, it's just, it just seems like so much work to get a few more votes. Like, how many votes do you think you get out of these people? Four?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking four disguises, right? How many more could you do that? Is that really all that effort for four votes? I guess so.
I guess, yeah. I'd like to know those margins. Like, did it make a difference? Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's
scary to vote, man.
Yeah, seriously. Maybe this is why we don't have voting in bars anymore.
Yeah, maybe exactly. Usually something always happens, so I feel like this is probably the reason.
So the final theory is that he actually had a brain tumor. And this, of course, could kind of explain the weird behavior, how the delusions and everything. So this kind of came about a little bit later, because it all came about when they exhumed his body to give him an actual tombstone. So it was 26 years after he was buried, they decided to give him a statue and a tombstone to honor his life. And when they did this, they had to move his coffin where it was, and it was poorly put together and also just disintegrating over almost 30 years of being in the ground. And so when they pulled it up out of the ground, it broke apart and his bones came out.
Which is so sad. It's like, man, this guy already had such a tough life. Like, are we really gonna like do this to this poor man?
Yeah. So they reported there was one guy that noticed an odd rattling inside the skull. There was something rolling around in there. And at the time, the news articles reported that it was his brain that dried up and hardened inside the skull. But as we find out later in science, your brain's actually one of the first things that deteriorates after you die, which is disturbing in itself.
It really is.
But apparently it could have been, there are experts that say it could have been a tumor, because tumors could harden and calcify, and that's what could have been rolling around in his skull, which is fascinating.
Right. So interesting.
Yeah. So those are, in a nutshell, the four kind of main theories. There are a ton of them, from different kinds of illnesses to a whole slew of other things, but those are the four main theories.
Exactly. And when Shin and I were talking about this, we were saying this is an interesting episode because normally each theory, they kind of like cancel on each other out, or they don't really go together necessarily. But in this case, you really could combine them all. Like, really all four of these things could have happened, or maybe like one and two happened, or three out of the four. So it's just quite interesting to think about like what happened to him. So Shannon, where's your tinfoil hat on these four theories? Which one are you leaning towards or not towards? Do you believe in all of them? What are you thinking?
I'm feeling the cooped. I think he was cooped, which that means he was drugged with alcohol and probably beaten.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just interesting that he was found on election day near a polling place in that kind of shape. So I do think he was cooped. So I think that's like hovering over my head. It's in the coronation stage.
Mm-hmm.
But I do also think he had a tumor, and maybe that's why alcohol affected him so much.
Yeah.
Was because of the tumor. So I kind of think I'm going to take all of them. I just want all of them. How about you?
Honestly, same. I think if I had to not say one, or the least out of the four, maybe the beaten one, because like you were saying, people didn't really talk about his condition, but then again, it really wasn't well recorded as much. It was more of his I don't even know, his communication skills, I guess, and just him kind of being a little crazy. But I definitely think that he was cooped. Definitely explains the whole outfit, and finding him in a ditch, it just seems so unlike him necessarily. And it's just like, how did this happen? You know, kind of look at the clues around you. And I agree with you. I think maybe the brain tumor had something to do with it, and him not being able to like handle the alcohol as well as other people. But yeah, I definitely think he was a victim of it.
Yeah. And I saw something on Britannica that casually mentioned that he had a brain lesion at one point. And there was nothing, it just had that one sentence and then it kept going on to his literary works. And I was like, wait, but what?
Yeah.
And it was right around the time where it was saying how he couldn't handle his alcohol. And then it said something like, but it was found that he had a brain lesion, and then it went more. So yeah. I don't know what that's about. And I tried looking it up and it didn't, I couldn't come up with anything. But yeah, maybe this was a pre-existing condition and just a lot of things happened.
Exactly. And that's kind of interesting. I feel like it's the easy answer to write about. Like if you're going to do a whole paper or whatever website, it's just like, oh yeah, he had a brain tumor or whatever. And then let's talk about his work.
Yeah.
You don't really want to talk about like, oh, maybe he was like a part of this whole coup situation.
Just like they just put in a line that he married his cousin. We don't need to go into it anymore. He just married his 13-year-old cousin. It's fine. What are you talking about?
Next
He's sentence. A genius.
Exactly. So this is a mysterious case. I'm surprised that I didn't know much about it earlier, because again, I just feel like his work just overpowered his life. But overall, just a series again of unfortunate events.
I couldn't get a handle on if I thought he was a good guy or not. Because you could look at, and oh, that's another thing. So after he died, his rival wrote his obituary and he put a really negative light on him, obviously. And that kind of swayed the public to not like him. So I don't really know. I wish we knew more about him so we could know. I can't tell if he was a good guy or a bad guy. I really can't.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like his personality, we really don't have a lot of information on.
Like he was difficult, but I don't know if it was justified difficult, you know, like Salem witches difficult.
Yeah.
Or if he was an ass, you know, I just couldn't really tell you.
Exactly. I'm surprised we don't know more, but I guess when you're 13, I was going to say more from his wife or even his engaged fiance. Any stories about him? But nothing really.
Right. And his cousin also died when she was 24. So there wasn't much time
much
there.
For her to, talked about. So interesting. Yeah, that concludes today's episode. We hope you guys enjoyed this one. And just, again, just so mysterious on Edgar Allan Poe's death. So we'll be back next Thursday. We hope to see you guys. Also, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Bare Roots Pod, B-A-R-E. Tell your friends to follow us. You'll be sure to get notified when we have a new episode and what that episode's going to be. So go give us a follow and like our stuff, because we would really appreciate that. But that's all for today. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Have a good one. Bye.
Welcome back to Bare Roots.
I can't do it.
Are you kidding? Podcast shy?
I am. You make me feel safe.
You got this. You got this. If not, I can totally step in, but it is hard.
I'm trying to think what you say.
It's just like breaking the ice.
Can you say, hi, welcome to Bare Roots. Today we're talking about Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
And then like,
Okay.